everyone in CrossFit who gets a ring muscle up, including myself, wasn't ready to get a ring muscle up when they first got the ring muscle up. But at the same time, I love watching people get their first muscle up. So I don't know what to do with it. Yeah. I would just like, do your first muscle up, and then maybe we'll... then we'll learn how to walk.
Yeah, and I think that training hurts yourself.
Training,
really.
you're training for your ego at that point,
exactly.
Which it's good. It's a good aspect of CrossFit to just have that confidence that, you know, you accomplish something, and that's great. But at the same time, we want to keep accomplishing things forever. Hey, I get it. Like, it's cool to do that stuff. And
it's badass, especially when you have somebody like yourself throwing around 240. Like,
yeah, but yeah, and you just got to realize, like, hey, I've been doing it for years. You know, I put in all the groundwork, and even before I even learned how to snatch, I was doing, you know, a lot of RDLs. I was building up my core. I was building up my legs, my shoulders. I had all the prerequisites, including mobility, before I even knew how to snatch, really, which is a whole nother story, is trying to learn how to snatch in a college weight room 5 years ago. I was like on online every day, like, someone teach me how to snatch. Like, there's this YouTube thing, and there was no information. I was just like, well, there's these videos of people snatching. I guess I'll try and do that. It was so hard.
Of me back way back when in the Health and Athletic Center in Flower Mound, snatching, and in my garage. And I learned all this, like, on my own.
Yeah, me too.
And it's just, it was ugly, but... And I remember when 95 pounds on the snatch was heavy. I mean, we've all been there.
Yeah.
We've all been there. And I think I should mention, I've been, I guess, CrossFitting now for, or doing some form of CrossFit for 11 years. I look fit, don't I? That's a testament to the program. I think the biggest part is, though, that I consider myself average, maybe a little above average CrossFitter, but I've never had a major tear,
yeah,
or a major injury other than maybe some just heavy tendonitis. Now, maybe like a partial grade one tear or something like that in my shoulder, but nothing that's put me out for longer than maybe four to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then rehabbing that stuff on my own. And I think that says something to the fact that stuff can be done if you allow it, right?
Yep.
Crawl, walk, and then run. So it's always a good path to take on that, I think.
Yeah. And whatever side of the spectrum you're on, whether it's training for life or training for competition, when you're in the gym, first of all, you need to be having fun. You need to have a good time. You need to have a smile on your face, and you need to be it. It's just so many. Just having fun just does so many things, and staying positive does so many things for your whole life. Let alone improvements in the gym. You need to have fun, and you need to succeed. You need to set yourself up to succeed in the gym. You don't, like, outside of when I had stomach flu, I didn't know it, and I tried snatching that one day, and I was like, I don't know what's going on. I choose weights where I'm pretty sure there's a 99% chance that I'm going to succeed. And if you just ingrain that and really, really slow yourself down, it's really, really hard sometimes, especially like yesterday, like where I PR'd my hang snatch, and I was like, it was a 5 pound PR, and I was like, oh, I could get like a 15 pound PR today. I was like, nope, just take it slow. It's a long, long game, and you're not gonna live longer or win any medals because you had a 15 pound PR instead of a 5 pound PR. They're both PRs. And if you get a record, that is, no matter if it's a half a pound or 100 pounds, that is cause for celebration.
It is.
Because you improved, you did something that you've never done before, and celebrate it and enjoy it But at the same time, take it real slow. You know, you gotta be really patient. But if you do that, you succeed every single day you're in the gym.
And you can do it for a long time.
And you can do it for forever because you're never really pushing that upper limit of like, is my shoulder gonna be able to hold this snatch position, this overhead position, or is my back gonna give out halfway through this,
Right.
you know?
Right. And there's something to be said for that. Like you look at all the top end elite athletes in this sport, and there's just not enough time to tell you what they're gonna look like and be like 20 years down
We're in leather helmets.
the
We're like, if this is like the football analogy, in the CrossFit world, we are in leather helmets. Like, we don't have face masks yet. We might have invented the forward pass like 3 years ago. This sport is brand new, and you really want to stay on the side of caution, especially if you're doing it for longevity, because yeah, it's important to look up to those top guys that are, you know, training probably too much and you know, failing a lot and kind of proud of it on social media. Like, look at me, I missed this snatch like 4 times. I'm like, well, maybe you should have missed it once and then pulled 10 pounds off.
Moved along.
Yeah, you know, there's time and place for everything, but it's a long game and
I think that goes not just for CrossFit. That's
yeah.
just for just any kind of training in general. You can go full bore into something too much and it not come out good. Let's talk about heroin, for instance,
Okay.
right? You dabble a little bit in heroin, and next thing you know, you're a full-fledged addict,
Okay.
right?
Yeah.
It's a fun thing to remember about how you can go so far into something and not come out without being worse off.
So you're saying if you just take a little bit of heroin at a time, you can just take heroin for your whole life.
Yes, exactly. My point is, from what I understand, you can't just take a little bit because you want more and you want more and you want more. And if you keep wanting more and you keep wanting more, then it's going to fucking kill
It's called chasing the dragon. Yeah.
There you go. And you can't ever catch it, right?
No.
The same thing applies here in fitness or even in CrossFit. Like, if you keep wanting to get more and get better, throw around more weight, it's going to cost you something. And it may be a torn shoulder, it may be a popped hamstring. It may be a metabolic disorder,
Yeah.
but there's just not enough evidence right now to really show what the long-term effects of high volume, high intensity, consistent training is,
Yep.
and it's not going to be good.
And I think we're seeing it already. I'm seeing, you know, the first kind of batch of competitors come through who have been doing it for 10 or 15 years. They're really starting to show some signs of being beat up and burnt out, and they're kind of leaving the sport and they're transitioning into the more lifestyle side of the sport, and it turns out like they're still really fit and they feel good. And you know,
Let's take a look at these babies.
yeah.
You can't stop being like.
And if you really look at, if you listen, he was on Rich Froning's podcast pretty recently, I think. And he was talking about how back in the day they would just train every single day. Hey, oh, PSA, everyone needs days off. And days off means you stay home and you stretch and you walk and you take a bath and whatever you want to do, you chill out.
Don't go run 10 miles.
Don't do a recovery 2K row. That's like the biggest oxymoron I've ever heard in my life. Like, I
I just
just.
did. I did a small recovery and whatnot. How far did you go? 10 miles.
Yeah. I was like, whoa. I tried way back in the day. I was like, all right, so I've heard of this recovery row thing where you just like row for 20 minutes, like a nice easy pace. And I was like, I felt worse after that than I would after like a regular day of training.
I did that one time. It was a Thursday.
Yeah. And I popped something back here. And I was hurt for like 3 weeks. Take 20 minutes. Yeah. Anyways, everyone needs days off, but yeah, it's scary seeing these guys who have been doing only for 10, like it's 10 years. You know, you have 40 to 60, 70 years left in you, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Don't you want to be moving a barbell around for the rest of those, years? I don't know. So
I think it's definitely something to think about if you're in the camp of feeling like maybe you're not getting enough or want to do more.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a time and place in wanting to do more. And I think the answer is not generally doing more.
Yeah.
It's, you know, let's focus on some of the stuff that will make what you're doing better. And then focus on some of the things you need to work on, which will make things you do in the gym better.
Be careful who you look up to, because none of us have CrossFit figured out yet. None of us have the end-all be-all recipe of how to succeed in CrossFit. There are people who are way farther ahead of others, and there are people who are behind others, but even though they're behind others, they're just so genetically gifted that they can handle all that volume, and they probably... Rich Froning eats toaster strudel every night. I think if I ate toaster strudel every night, that I would be, like, gung-ho at the gym, like, ready to go. Like,
I couldn't
do it. We play by different rules because we were born different.
Yeah.
And
him and Fraser is kind of the same way. Just genetic freak.
Yeah.
And I know
of course.
For me, if I'm not getting my sleep, and if I'm not eating probably 90 to 95% good, what I consider good, and not drinking enough water, man, I'm hurting. I don't have any motivation. I don't have any energy. You know, and it's just like, I'm not the genetic freak that those guys are.
And none of us are.
No.
If we were
have to have shit in line,
if
to
we
be
were,
able to do
we'd
the
have
we do.
A million followers on Instagram, and we'd be all bummed out because we're probably not going to qualify for the games this year. Because we live in Matt Fraser's state or country.
We need to give that guy the...
But yeah, be careful who you look up to, because no one has the answer, and we don't know how everyone's story ends. And we're starting to see signs of these guys who've been doing really high intensity, long workouts every single day with no rest, who can do that mentally. It doesn't make you a loser because you don't train every single day and you don't, it doesn't make you soft. It just makes you smart. And I know that I could push myself that hard. Like, I could show up to the gym every day, train really, really hard for 2 hours, and then eventually my back would give out or my shoulder would give out or something would get hurt. It's just not worth it. And it's something that everyone can learn from. Everyone, there's a time and place, and it's probably twice a year. Probably Murph, you know, you dig down deep, everyone from competitors to... It's important. It's like a rite of passage. It's like there's time and place for it. Like you throw all the chips on the table and you just dig down deep and see how much we got. And you're going to feel awful for the whole workout. And you're going to feel awful for 3 days, especially because you're going to drink like 4 beers right after the workout. Right. Other than that, like, you want to leave the gym if you're doing it for life. You want to leave the gym feeling better than you walked in.
I think the follow-up to that would be, if you feel that your 4 to 5 hours a week is not responding the way that you want to, the answer is not
more
doing more.
Right.
which is usually the first thing that I think a lot of us go after.
Yep.
I'm not seeing the results I want to see, so I need to be doing more. When reality is, it's time to sleep more. It's time to eat better. It's time to reduce our stress, maybe reduce some caffeine intake, and look at the other factors that aren't being addressed instead of adding in more volume and intensity and load. And I think that's what training for life really is.
You have to look at fitness and training and working out no matter what. You have to look at it kind of like a drug, because it is a drug. Like, it produces drugs in your body.
Like heroin.
Yeah, like heroin. Bring it all back around. And if it's not working and you keep on piling on without looking at other factors, which is like kind of a pretty good analogy for how medicine works today. Like, we're just like, Bobby's still not paying attention in school, so maybe we need to give him more stimulants and more drugs instead of like, maybe Bobby needs like
less sugar
or to exercise or to sleep. And you have to look at it as a drug. And sometimes when you're taking a drug, you get used to a drug, right? So what do? You either take less for a little bit and recover and lower your tolerance for it, or you just keep on piling on until you're taking way too much, you know? And exercise is no different. Another note, you said stress. I've noticed, very underrated, stress. If I'm stressed, if I have a stressful day at school or a stressful week at school, I'll have the worst workouts of all time. Pro tip, deal with stress before you deal with anything else. So when you look at stress, so we have cortisol, our stress hormone, supposed to be high, like if you're getting chased by a tiger, right? Your adrenaline and your cortisol keeps you on high alert, ready to move, but it's a drug. It gets produced while you work out and you get used to it. And it stops having the effect and you start living off of it. And it slowly turns into the same reason we get diabetes, you know, type 2 diabetes, is you just have insulin all day, all the time. And then eventually your body stops reacting to it. You're like, pancreas doesn't know what it's doing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just shooting us with insulin.
We don't
need it. Like, our blood sugar's fine. Like, whatever. It's the same thing. It's a drug, and it's a powerful drug, but you need to know when to walk away, and you need to know when you need to push it.
What else you got?
I'm pretty happy with that. I mean, bone density, we mentioned it slightly. If you talk to like nutritionists or doctors, like they'll tell you like they have their certain ages for men and women. Like, men and women have a certain bone density by 14 years old. And once you have that bone density, it's just all downhill from there. And that's not true. You get under a barbell, it's called Wolf's Law. You get under a barbell and you add stress to whatever, it gets stronger. Same thing for bones. It's a silent epidemic in America, is like osteoporosis, and it, you just become so fragile. But if you had stress your whole life, your bones are like, hey, we need
good stress.
Yeah. Yeah. If you add stress to the bones. So what I mean by stress to the bones is taking a load like a barbell and applying it to your bones, and your body reacts to whatever you put into it. It'll say, okay, so I guess this guy likes putting 400 pounds on his back and sitting down and standing up with it. So we need to have strong bones, and we need to have strong muscles, and we need to have strong ligaments. And it's like magic. It does it. So it's really important for longevity. I get a lot of questions for like, what should older people do? Like, you know, they're old, they're people. They're just people. They're the same thing. And like, oh, should they do water aerobics to kind of keep weight off their joint? That's the opposite thing they should be doing.
Varies by intensity, not time.
Yeah, that should be the like, unless they're living in a gravity space force, unless they're living in a gravity free environment the rest of their life, they need to be training under gravity. That is the number one thing. The last thing you want to do is air quotes water aerobics, because I guess it's technically aerobics. Like, I don't think anyone's really burning any calories. Like, I've seen whatever. Chronic disease, heart disease, diabetes. Diabetes goes with number one cause of death in diabetes is kidney failure. So if you see stats like kidney failure, top 10 cause of death, and diabetes, top 10 cause of death, they're one and the same. Top 10 cause of death in America. Diabetes, kidney failure, cancer, probably won't be affected as much by your training. Probably be more the stress side and the diet, sleep side of things.
I swear that we keep coming back around to sleep,
diet. It's weird, huh?
And training.
That's funny.
I think chronic disease, you know, CrossFit is on this big push right now about defeating chronic disease. And it's not just working out, but it's a coupling of focusing on good nutrition and focusing and being active. You know, and that's a way to defeat and start limiting the effects of some of those diseases.
Yeah, so we got, I'm pulling up the list of top 10 causes of disease of death in America. They're all chronic diseases. Number one's heart disease. Obviously training along with lifestyle will help with that. Cancer, probably not so much. Respiratory infection. Accidents. How about falls? Is a big, big problem for quality of life, and it ends a lot of lives. Sure, it's really, really sad, and it turns out the stronger you are and the more coordinated you are, the less falls and accidents you have later in life. So that is something that's really ignored, I feel, a lot of times, because, man, falls are just so common. We all know someone in our family who fell and at the very least had their life change dramatically because of falls. And that's something we can prevent by showing up to the gym 3 hours a week and, you know, doing what your coach says. Everything we do outside of maybe a handstand push-up could really, really help you. Because we all know what handstand push-ups are functional for, right? Can't guess. Keg stands. You ever seen someone on Instagram try and do a keg stand and they don't have the upper body strength to hold themselves up? So if you're a beer drinker, you need to do handstand push-ups. But other than that, probably push-ups will be fine.
I think the good news is there's this the age group coming up into their elder years has got a little bit different perception of what the group past them.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I've talked older years that have just completely dismissed the idea of working out, eating better, simply because they're older, simply because they've lived their lives and they don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is now we have this group coming behind them that realizes, hey, they maybe want to stick around for a little bit longer, and all these other people are dying sooner than
they're losing their independent life.
So I think that's on our side. And focus on good ways to achieve that, we're on the right track.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
Cool. If y'all have any questions or comments on today's show, or want to send in just some thoughts you had, or maybe questions in general, just send them to Brandon@grapevinecrossfit.com, and we'll have a show here soon based on questions that people send in.
And I think our next one will be on sleep.
Sleep.
Yeah.
Come up a few times.
So we'll definitely hit that up a little bit.
Yeah.
So until next time, we will talk to you then.
Peace.